going to turn now to the tragic, tragic story. This one out of Ohio. Deadly encounter between two people who did not know each other and were both victims of phone scammers. Victim one, 81-year-old William Brock, received threatening calls last month saying his family was in danger and demanding money. And then the scammers also called an Uber driver, Lolitha Hall, to pick up a package from Brock's home. Brock then confronted her with a gun, believing that she was connected to the threats he'd been receiving, and now he is charged with Hall's murder. Lily Luciano has this story, and we have to warn you, the video is disturbing.
Help! Lolitha Hall screamed for help as William Brock confronted her with a gun. But as the Uber driver tried to flee, police say the 81-year-old resident shot her multiple times. And then he called 911.
Well, I shot her in the leg first time, and I shot her in the shoulder.
Why did you do that?
Because I was threatened that she was going to come and kill me.
The county sheriff's office says Brock was the subject of a scam call concerning an incarcerated relative, which turned to threats and a demand for money. Police say Hall, the driver, was also contacted either by the same scammer or an accomplice to pick up a package from Brock's residence through the Uber app.
The guy on the phone center here.
So the male on the phone was trying to get money from you, and she was knocking on the door at the same time?
Yes, and he was telling me he was going to kill me and the family and everybody else around.
Hall, who was 61, died from her injuries in the hospital. Police say she made no threats or assaults towards Brock before the shooting, other than to ask about the package she was sent to retrieve. They also say Brock took her cell phone and refused to let her leave. Last week, Brock was charged with felony murder, and now he could face 15 years to life behind bars, plus a $15,000 fine. He has pleaded not guilty. What does the prosecution need to prove in this case?
That Brock knew he was using deadly force, and what the prosecution is going to say is there is just no reason to shoot three times when somebody is trying to leave your property. If somebody is trying to flee, almost by definition, they are no longer posing a threat.
Uber says it has banned the account of the person who ordered Hall's trip and has been in touch with both her family and Clark County law enforcement. It's hard to know if the alleged scammers will be held liable for Hall's death is something that I asked Jessica Levinson. She says it's not clear that they could have predicted that the ruse would lead to this horribly deadly tragic outcome.
That video, every time I see that video, I saw it yesterday, it's heartbreaking. You can see the fear on her face.
And hear it.
She has bad information. He has bad information. He's amped up and scared. She doesn't know what the hell is happening. The guy comes out with a gun. It's
extremely
so heartbreaking,
tragic, and we'll just see how the prosecution and how the defense, what they can claim, whether they can use the Castle Doctrine because it was outside of the house.
Scammers are definitely liable in
exactly,
my mind.
Tony,
I mean, they're the ones that put those two people in that situation.
All right, now we're going to keep moving along with this story. And now the next news clip, and for those of you on Patreon, you are seeing the video, and the video will be Patreon only, audio will be out and actually limited. Patreon subscribers are just going to get more. It's, well, better business. And you'll see something in this video that's interesting that kind of reminds me of when Dylan Storm Roof, the Rhodesian superhero, went down to the Mother Emanuel Church and put the murder game down. And remember when the police fellers picked him up, took him for a little ride. They were like, let's get the boy some Burger King on the way there. Get one of them, couple of them Whopper burgers. Get the Whopper in. Maybe even tell a couple Whoppers if we can. All right. So this one, you will notice something interesting with the police fellers and also just the language they use, right? When the police go to meet him. Interesting stuff. Let's check it out.
Now to the case that has horrified this nation. We're learning more tonight after those awful images of a homeowner with a gun who then shot and killed a 61-year-old Uber driver. Police say the homeowner had been called by scammers. They say the Uber driver was unknowingly sent by scammers too. Tonight you will hear what happens when the alleged scammer then calls the house while authorities are there. Here's Alex Perez.
Tonight, they are the deeply unsettling images that have horrified the country. The Ohio homeowner pointing his gun at a 61-year-old Uber driver who was simply there, authorities say, to pick up a package. Investigators say the homeowner had been duped by scammers who called him, and he thought the driver was in on it. But she had no idea what she was walking into. Tonight, the new and difficult images of what played out after he shot and killed her. 81-year-old William Brock, seen moments after he shot 61-year-old Lolitha Hall, telling Clark County deputies he had received a call from someone demanding $12,000 for bail money for a relative of his. It was a scam.
I've been on this phone for a couple hours with this guy trying to say he had a nephew in jail, had a wreck in Charleston, and just kept hanging on and needing bond money, and this woman was supposed to have.
Authorities believe the same scammers targeted the Uber driver through the app, hiring her to pick up a package from Brock's home without telling her what they told him. That unsuspecting Uber driver was instead confronted at gunpoint. She attempts to get in her car to get to safety, but the homeowner prevents her from leaving, shooting her three times, then calling 911. She died from her injuries. In this newly released video tonight, you can hear a man believed to be the scammer calling the home again, right while investigators were there.
May I ask you who I'm talking to?
Yes, this is the officer speaking.
Okay, what officer?
Yes.
No, I need to know what officer, sir.
You're going to be in trouble.
Okay, let me ask you this. The female you sent over here, you know who she is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, she's been in an accident. And this is actually an officer. It's Detective Cruz with the Clark County Sheriff's Office.
And David, during that exchange, the alleged scammer agreed to meet with authorities but never showed up. They have not been caught. Brock, who's been charged with murder, has pleaded not guilty. David?
Let's hope they find who was behind all this. Alex, thank you.
And you may notice that the murderer was comfortably in the cop car without handcuffs on. You see, because you can just shoot a nigger a couple times, do what you gotta do, and mosey on into that. Like, I would love to see what he looked like getting in the cop car. Like, did the police open the car door for him and let him put himself in? Like, just kind of sit in there like, hey, I'm just taking a ride in the cruiser. Right? It's like being the camera guy in an episode of Cops. Because you're the reason why someone had to call the cops. You're the one that called the cops. That's, man. Being a white man is baller as fuck. Now, of course, me being me, I walk with my suspicions. Right? I remember hearing a lyricist I think St. Paul, Minnesota, say, I walk with my religion. I walk with my suspicions. You know, I don't know enough about this guy, William Brock, the shooter, right? And I don't know much about his victim, Lolitha. What I do know is that he's 81, so born in 1943, so came of age going into the 1960s, right? And her being 61... So, essentially, right about 20 years after him, coming out in 1963, being born as he is coming of age. And you just think of what kind of water is, you know, what kind of cultural, social, political water did William Brock swim in from birth to coming of age and going into his adulthood, you know, when we get, set in our ways, as it were. And if he is from Ohio and he didn't just move there, well, that could be interesting. Found just a little bit about Ohio. Again, I would just like to know more. Can we interview people that knew this guy a couple decades ago? Anybody that knew this guy in the 1970s and the 1960s? Anyone who knew him in the 50s, tell me a little bit about him. Anybody black that knew him when he was young, if they're still alive, right? Are there any black 80-year-olds that knew this guy that could tell us about him? I'd love to know. I'll never get to, though. I'll never get to, and we won't either, so we're left to speculate, as it always goes. but we speculate based off of little things that we can find to read. And what do we find to read here? Spectrum News 1. Article up by Rod Hisong. Published 9:53 a.m., March 5th, 2019. Right? Article not related to the story, just a little something about Ohio. So in late May, and again, this is 2019, an Indiana-based Ku Klux Klan group will hold a rally at the Courthouse Square in downtown Dayton. It's the first organized KKK rally in Dayton in nearly 25 years. Which is interesting, right? Nearly 25 years. Nearly. So, essentially 24 years. And with it being 2019 at the time of this being published, 20 years prior would be 1999. You run it back four more years, that's 95. And 95 would be one of those years when people are like, I thought we were over with this whole thing. We're never over with this thing. It's never over. Continuing. So it's the first organized KKK rally in Dayton in nearly 25 years, but the history of the Klan in the Miami Valley and all throughout Ohio dates back more than 100 years. This guy is 81. It dates back more than 100 years. So when he was born, it was just getting to be almost 20 years in its development. Continuing, we have a quote from Dr. Bill Trollinger, a history professor at the University of Dayton. And Bill Trollinger says, quote, in the 1920s, the city of Ohio was in the top six of American cities in terms of percentage of its citizens who were Klan members. Top six out of 50 states, 44 whole other states were behind Ohio. And it doesn't say Ohio was number six, it was in the top six. Could have been one, could have been six. Right? Could have been two, could have been four. Maybe even a three without a six mafia. I don't know. Ask DJ Paul if he's got a Juicy J for you. Rest in peace, Gangsta Boo. Tangent over, right? So we continue. Dr. Bill Trollinger has researched the Klan throughout the United States, and he published an article in 2013 titled, quote, Hearing the Silence, the University of Dayton, the Ku Klux Klan, and the Catholic Universities and Colleges in the 1920s, end quote, because nerdy researchers like really long headlines. Dayton and Youngstown were most notable for their Klan members. Pause point. According to this Yahoo.com map, Clark County is a 36-minute drive from Dayton, Ohio. Wee bit of proximity there and all. Continuing, coming off of SpectrumNews1.com. In Dayton, 15 to 20% of the population in the 1920s was believed to be a member of the KKK. Rallies at the former Montgomery County Fairgrounds regularly drew 10,000 plus people. 100 years ago, Dayton was ground zero for Klan activities. The number one target was the University of Dayton, which they understood to be with Dayton's ROTC program. They suggest they were training a papal army. Yeah, they would do that. And the tactics remain the same. Continuing, Klan members regularly targeted the campus with burning crosses. According to Dr. Trollinger, this was for about a period of 5 years, starting in 1922, and students were fearful of the Klan. But as students began chasing after Klan members in an attempt to pull down their hoods, the Klan started burning crosses at a nearby cemetery to use fences for protection. Because this, here is your white Christianity. We are Christians. We are the good people because we are Christians. Now we're going to set symbolic devices of the torture of the person that we claim to exist and follow over the graves of dead people to tell you that we don't like you. Christian. Continuing. The UD football team went after the Klan in the cemetery and chased them off. This was found in Trollinger's research because the students did not just take that shiznat. That is not a verbatim quote from me. Continuing, after the 1930s, all right, the Klan numbers dropped. During its peak, Ohio was believed to have the highest number of Klan members of any state. Trollinger said an influx of new residents played a part in Klan activity. Now, something about when numbers that you know of drop. I don't know. I'm not familiar with Trollinger's research very heavily. But I don't know how you determine if when the numbers drop, the beliefs, ideas, and raising your children to hold on to these ideas drop with these numbers. Because all that is white people doing what they always do, saying, oh, nah, I don't do that thing. White people, they deny, deny, deny. That's the name of the game and always has been. But I couldn't say always. To my knowledge, since minstrel shows, that was the beginning of this ideological trajectory of white people saying, we need to lie now, because apparently, to people outside of our enclave, we don't have the moral high ground, and we need them to believe that we have the moral high ground. It's very important to never cede anything to them, and that's something that they understand, as far as like being the socio-political opponent of another person or group. Cede nothing. All right, there can't just all this. This is where I agree with Newt Gingrich. No, if Newt Gingrich holds the same conclusion as you on something, then the proper language is, this is where Newt Gingrich agrees with me, but for a different reason, because they never arrived to the same conclusion as you by the same road. They got to that building, but they drove over people to get there. All right? There's actually two trolley cars in my thought experiment. All right? Continuing, coming off of SpectrumNews1.com. Still coming from Dr. Trollinger. Ohio saw a lot of immigrants in the late 19th and early 19th and early 20th century from Southern and Eastern Europe. And those immigrants were mostly Catholic and Jewish, so there were a lot of people, white Protestants, who found that threatening and did not think they were truly American. And in the wake of World War I, they targeted those people. Nationally, the Klan's membership peaked at 4 million that we know of in the 1920s and 30s. Ohio's membership was thought to make up about 10% of a larger group. Right, so if you're recruiting a bunch of people, and I mean, we see what right-wingers do, right? They like to recruit young. So if you're recruiting people young, and you bring them into the ideology, even if they no longer call themselves that thing, they've been brought into the ideology. They buy into the bullshit. They may shake off the, oh, maybe we don't want to lynch niggers. That was a little grotesque. I vomited a little bit. Not real good at seeing blood. But still, maybe niggers need lynching. I just don't want to lynch them. And those people start having children. Who's going to be born in the early 1940s? Continuing. May's rally in Denton, and when I say May, I'm talking about the month of May. Remember, this is from 2019. May's rally in Dayton could be small in terms of Klan members, but counter rallies being organized online could far outnumber the KKK group. Because people that share ideology with the Klan know that it's bad PR to be in the Klan, to wear the regalia. It's just bad PR. The people that are in the Klan are just the ones willing to take the social hit of being publicly face out in the Klan. Yeah, no. White sacrifice and all. Continuing, the Honorable Sacred Knights of Indiana, based in Madison, were granted permission by Montgomery County to hold a May 25th rally at the Courthouse Square on North Main Street, and county officials said they had no choice but to issue the permit. They didn't have a choice. They gotta do it. Freedom of speech. And Montgomery County appears to be a 47-minute drive from Clark County. Indeedly do, neighbor. All right, continuing, SpectrumNews1.com. So, the county, they issued a following statement. Quote, "We are troubled that an out-of-state group like this one has decided to come to our community. However, this is a constitutional issue. We cannot deny any group the ability to exercise their freedoms of speech and assembly in a public space. We is focused on working with our diverse community organizations and local law enforcement to ensure that our citizens is safe during the event. We embrace our diversities, and we is committed to fostering an open and welcoming community for all our citizens. We is confident that our community will come together and send a message of tolerance, respect, openness, and kindness." End quote. And that was the statement released by the county. And now the Dayton City Commission also released a statement. "We condemn all forms of racism, prejudice, bigotry, and hate. Dayton is a community that welcomes all people. The foundation of our community is what we believe that everyone deserves to be treated equally, with dignity and respect, regardless of race, color, religion, sex, ancestry, national origin, place of birth, marital status, familial status, sexual orientation, gender identity, economic status, or disability. You have a home in Dayton, because apparently we're just a fucking hub of social justice warriors." End quote. These protections are not without cost. You see, the freedoms of speech and assembly that guarantee these protections mean we must also allow space for those we disagree with to speak hatred, bigotry, and racism. Although it is painful, doing so ensures that our rights will not be restricted. It is in times like these that we are reminded that these freedoms give all communities, regardless of their beliefs or viewpoints, the ability to vocalize their opinions. It guarantees the right of civil rights leaders to protest racism, the LGBTQ+ community to host pride with cops, women to hold the Women's March, high-fiving cops, scientists to hold climate change rallies, Greta Thunberg arrested and carried away by cops, students to protest gun laws. I don't know much about one of those. I don't have an immediate reference off the top of my head. And advocates to call out injustice at the border. Yep. Because you see, by giving space for the Klan to publicly propagandize, it makes everything better for everyone else to try to propagandize against their propaganda. Like, if you actually just shut white supremacists the fuck down, you... And keep in mind, white supremacists, they're kind of a cross-section. It's not like everybody is cool and groovy with LGBTQ plus folks, right? Particularly transgender folks, queer folks, right? Non-binary folks, and partic. And to my very limited knowledge, bisexual folks, right? Bi erasure, I think is the language I would go with. Check me on that one. I could be incorrect. Right? Everyone ain't groovy with that. But you shut down white supremacists, and a lot of these other folks don't have as much to protest against. Jesus Christ. And of course, that part that we just read was the closing statement, sort of the opinion of the facts presented by Rod Hassong for SpectrumNews1.com, Ohio. Folks, not a whole bunch of bells and whistles to this video, but I'm desperate to getting back to getting the Laborhood Audience video. And yep, gonna be changing that name from Wine Cellar Media to Fully Laborhood, and just fully nuking Wine Cellar Media as my old brand from my 30s. And my 40s, it's Laborhood. So, keep it Laborhood as possible. I didn't word that right. Keep it as Laborhood as possible wherever you are.